Well, when Meredith arrived here this morning with her mom and dad, I couldn't help but notice she's about as tall as I am now. I'm telling you, she's up here, and she'll soon be above us, Mom. She'll soon be above us. If she keeps on drinking that Tennessee water and she goes to school up there, she'll be busy. Proud of you. But we still sing the songs of young people, and we still sing the songs of camp. We've had a great time at camp. We had 25,000 meals served at camp this year. We had over 1,150 campers to be there this year. How about that? And so we've got room for about 650 more that can be there at any time, all during the time, everything. So we're looking forward to all the improvements and everything. There's some corrections and improvements we need to make. Every few years we have to do a rewashing of the pool and everything, all the stuff that gets in there and everything gets into some of the mold and things like that in the swimming pool. We need to fix that. And we need to fix up some places that we haven't had some drainage going underway and some vents going underway, because up in the ceiling we get a little bit of that mildew and things like that too, with children being in there breathing out and everything as they sleep in the air conditioning. Well, let me tell you about that air conditioning. That air conditioning, every director says, has helped the attitude of our children there at camp. They are different spirit, less able to be in the troubles and everything. And Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa, when they come to pick them up, they are expressing to the directors how different it is, because they get them and they rest. They're more rested. They're able to rest a little bit and then get out on Saturday night. And so they just enjoying that so very much. And I thought when I saw Meredith once again, we just sing the hippo song, because we still do it. In the beginning God made the sea, and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high, and at the top he placed the sky. His fingerprints are everywhere, just to show how much he cares. In the middle he had some fun, and he made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus. Hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, hip, hooray, God made us. Hip, hooray, God made all of us. What a blessing we have in those songs and those ideals of it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods went up. The rains came down and the floods went up. The rain came down and the floods went out, and the wise man's house stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods went up. Rains came down and the floods went up. The rains came down and the floods went up. And the foolish man's house went splash. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. And your blessings will come down. Yo, your blessings will come down as your prayers go up. Blessings will come down as your prayers go up. Blessings will come down as your prayers go up. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as we know, the wise man and the foolish man built the house out of the same material. They built the same design. As far as we know, Jesus didn't make any difference between what they looked like and everything, how many windows it had in it. But he did say the difference was the foundation. One built on a solid rock. The other built on the sinking sand. That tells us what to do in life. And that's the topic of our study today in regard to home and family. We've been doing some textual studies. And I ask you today, if you would, in your Bible right there, turn to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to take a look at some of the ways that the Lord wants us to live. As parents, we are given a great influence and a great need that is there in front of us. And as a result, showing our young people a way of example is the way that the Lord Jesus taught us how to live. He told us to be people who practice what we know as the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. When we do that, we make a difference in the marriage that we have. We make a difference in the neighbors that are beside us where we live. We make a difference with the work and job that we have and responsibility to make money. When we're people who have a making of our actions toward others or as we would have them do act toward us, we make a difference in the world in which we live. Here in Galatians chapter 5, vividly is talked about, beginning at verse 16, please. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," that's the Holy Spirit, "and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, and variances, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings and murder, drunkenness and reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I also have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." It'd be good for us to teach our young people the meaning of each one of those terms. For those are works of the flesh, those are sin-sick situations, and there's not a future, a home with God, if we live and practice and die in those conditions. If we live and practice and die in things that lead to murder, lead to jealousies, which is emulation in our King James English, lead to hatred or idolatry, or lead to cheating in a marriage, we find that that's not going to lead us to a home with God in heaven. Thus, in our mannerisms of life, we teach them by not only words that are said, but also by the example that is shown. Walking in that Spirit of God, there's a different way of life that we choose. As our prayers go up, the blessings will come down. And as our prayers go up, we find ourselves wanting more and more to get deeply involved in the fruit that the Spirit bears in our daily walk of life. And in Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit." But the fruit of the Spirit. He's contrasting what he's just said about the works of the flesh, of which those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. If we do that which the Spirit has asked us to do, and which Paul has asked us. Verse 16, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." It is the walking in the Spirit of God. And he's going to repeat that at the close of this particular chapter. How that we walk in the Spirit of God. And he says here, in walking in the Spirit, this is the fruit that we'll be bearing. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Keep in mind, please, that in the New Testament of our Bible, that the chapters and verses were added about 300 or 400 years later by those who were doing translation work and wanted to be sure they had the verses correct. So they'd call out a certain number and a certain title and they'd be sure that that particular word was there in that text, or they would cast it out and redo it. And so that's what the chapters and verses were. In the original, there was not a separation between chapter 5 and chapter 6. And notice my purpose of my lesson today. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another, brethren. If any man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual. What's he just talked about? Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Being spiritual. And he's saying right there, if you be overtaken in a fault, they that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. What can we do with our children? What can we do in our home and family? Be a good example. If they see us out of control about a tax document that comes our way, if they see us out of control about a neighbor whose dog has come over into our yard, if they see us out of control at a ball game that is taking place, and we are kill the umpire for sure, what is the likelihood that they also will be out of control and maybe also kill the umpire? Umpire is an important word. We play sports and we see sports, and we've got sports coming up by the drove this weekend, and there are ball games that will be played and there are referees that will be there. One time in the New Testament of the Bible, the Greek word for referee is used. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Let the peace of God, the English word there is translated rule. Let the peace of God rule your hearts and minds. And then he adds, and be ye thankful. Be thankful that the peace of God does rule. What is that rule? That word originally is for the word umpire or referee. A referee says, whoa, this is out of hand. This is not to be done. There's a penalty. Penalty flags are dropped. There is a time in which that particular group practicing that cannot continue down the field because of it. We know the benefit of having a game go on with good things, and we know also the poorness of something I have done one time in my life. I've seen it done a few times, and it wasn't done steadily, but I was in Greenwood, Mississippi one night watching a game take place, and all of the officials were out of line when they called a play. When they called a penalty and threw a penalty flag, it wasn't just against my team. My team won the game that night. But at that particular time in which the referee flew his flag, I, in studying refereeing, things like that, knew that he was out of posture. One of the first rules that you're taught, if you do not see it as a referee, you do not call it. Now, you do not see it when you blink your eye. That's what they teach you in baseball. Because people in the stands blink their eye as the guy hits the ball, runs to first base. But there's a different sound when that foot hits the base versus that ball hits the mitt. And you're taught as an umpire, a referee, because you're going to blink your eye too. And when the fans up there blink their eye, they say, he was safe. But the guy that's there that really knows that he heard before he heard, although it was in an instance of an eye blink, that that took place. So they teach you the first law of umpire is to listen with your ears, not just with your eyes. So it is that we find ourselves refereeing our decision making in life, in the words we say and in the manner of life that we do, by the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule your hearts and your minds. When we find the peace of God, ask, is what I'm fixing to say, is this going to be acceptable to God? Is this going to build up? Proverbs 18:21 talks about the power of life and death is in the tongue. But that's not all of that verse. We quote that and cite that because of the emphasis that's given to it. But in the last half of that verse in Proverbs 18:21, it tells us the following. The power of life and death is in the tongue, and the fruit is born by him that uses it. What fruit comes from the tongue and the words that we speak? Life, encouragement, conversion to the gospel of Jesus Christ, faithfulness in the Lord's house, in his church? Or is it death that comes from our lips? Hatred, rejection, jealousies, murder comes from our lips. We don't want our children, we don't want our families to live in that kind of way. So we want to do as we walk in the Spirit of God. We want to bear record in regard to this matter, that the fruit of the Spirit is to be born in our daily walk of life. We're going to find ourselves umpiring by peace that we have because the fruit of the Spirit, the third thing noted there, is love, joy, and peace. Long-suffering and gentleness, goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. There's no law against how peaceful you are by any country in the world. How about it? That's the way we rear our children. Thank you for your listening and study with us today. This is the idea that we have in mind of our textual study in Galatians 5. Please remember, as you begin that chapter, you'll see the sense of ideas about the place of the Spirit of God in our daily walk of life. Would you like to have that direction of God's Word and will in your daily walk of life? In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the people were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were guilty of murdering the Son of God. You by wicked hands, lawless men, have taken him and crucified him. What shall we do? They were convicted. Peter said, repent ye and be baptized, every one of you. Change your heart about that. Change your mind about that. This is not a good thing to rejoice in. This is not a good thing for you to talk about in the future as though you did a great thing. Repent of this. And be baptized. Be immersed, each one of you, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God will give you that gift. He will abide in your inner man, according to 2 Corinthians 4, and renew it day by day. You will find your walk in this way of life an example that's worthy of young people, neighbors, friends, co-workers following from day to day. Thank you for your listening and study with us today. If anybody's subject to Jesus' invitation to come to him today, in repentance and baptism into Christ, you can do that
and begin a new way of life, a new walk. As we stand together, let us sing.
Come unto me, I am the way. Pardon the loving call, obey. Come, for He loves you so. Only a step, only a step. Come, for He bled for you. Loving Savior, yeah, Jesus the crucified. Open for you the pearly gate, loved one for you. Now watch and wait, terrible thought to cry too late. Jesus, I come.
Have some other people added on to the congregation tonight to sing with us and everything, and come back to singing tonight at 6, and stay over for the potluck. You won't be regretting it tonight after the singing time. Good to be with you.
Right in the sight of God.